Hi, this is Heaton Shah.
And this is Stelly Efti. And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, I actually want to do something unusual. I don't think we've ever done this, which is talk a little bit about a book I'm currently reading.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
So we've talked about books and why we love reading, and I think it's very apparent to most people that know us and have listened to the podcast for a while that we are passionate readers. But we've never, I don't think we've ever reviewed a book. And I don't want to do that today because I'm still kind of in the middle of reading it, but I want to discuss some core ideas I'm picking up out of this book with you because I'm dying to hear your thoughts on this. So the book that I'm currently reading is written by Peter Block, and it's called The Answer to How is Yes.
Okay. I haven't read it.
Ah, okay. So I don't think this is a very well-known or super popular book. It is, I think, older. It's published 2003. So this is a 14 years old book. But there are, and I'm still kind of, I'm in the middle of it, so I have not yet finished it. But some of the core idea, I think, has already been communicated to me. And it's an interesting one. I've never thought about it the way that the author writes about it. And whenever I am exposed to what I would claim or tag as original thought, like something I've not heard discussed and explored lots and lots in other places, it fascinates me. First, because I'm like, how did this person think about this exact idea? But then also I'm trying to like really work with it. So let me summarize real quick what the key thesis is, I think in my own words. And then I'd love to hear your thoughts on it and like discuss it and explore it a little bit with you if you're down.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what Peter Block is saying here, the answer to how is yes, what he's the core thesis of the book summarized in Stelly Efti's own way would be that we live in a world that's incredibly deterministic. And as people, we try to be practical and utilitarian and useful. And that's awesome. But it's been pushed to the extreme to where it's not serving us well. And one manifestation of this is that he's really attacking the question, how? Asking the question, how to do something, how something gets done, how much it will cost, how much time it will take, how we're going to get people to be involved. The how question is kind of his thing to attack, but it's more than just the question how. And to give this into practical examples, he'll say that we ask the question how too early too many times. So instead of trying to figure out, is this something we should be doing in the first place or not? We're jumping instinctively too quickly in how to do it, if that makes sense, right? Whenever an idea is proposed, instead of debating the merits of the idea, and if that is truly what we should be doing, we tend as humans to very quickly go from the idea to how to implement the idea. And that leads us down the path of working on things that we should have never worked on. And the second thing that he proposed, and this is something I've never thought about, right? So that's why I'm so fascinated with it, is that he says, or he proposes in the book, that another big and possibly very negative reason to ask the question how is as a defense mechanism against doing it in the first place, right? Because when it's something that's daunting, when it's something that is challenging, when it's something we're afraid of, asking the question how is an easy way out, because the question how will now bring up all kinds of other problems. It will showcase that this is going to be complicated or difficult or expensive or take a lot of time or that there's no ways we know how to do this. So there's going to be confusion. And so asking how can be like a defense mechanism against doing things that we should be doing, just like it can be a trap into doing things we shouldn't be doing at all. So I could go on and on, but I don't know how confusing I am or how much sense all this makes. But what's your first initial reaction to this? Because I'm pretty sure you're going to have one.
Yeah, well, I mean, while you're talking, I was Googling it. And I actually don't think your explanation is wrong. I think it's just a heady subject. I did find some really great reviews of the book and already kind of went through them as you were talking just to ramp up.
Because, in true heat and fashion, yeah. You already read
it. Oh, yeah. hell yeah. You're like, new book, and you liked it? I'm like, all right, what is this book? And, you know, I was reading through it, and I think it's really profound. It's actually very interesting. And I was thinking through myself and how I think about a lot of this stuff. And it's interesting, like in myself, I don't know why yet, but I don't really ask how. I just don't bother. Like, I don't even, like, it's like, if it should be done, it will be done. There's no point in wondering how it's going to be done, because that happens after you decide that you're going to do it. I think a lot, the way I would say this is, for many people, they ask how because they haven't decided that they're going to do it yet. So they want to know all the different ways to get something done, or that they should do it, what they should do with their lives. Instead, the approach I've always taken, and I think it's either natural or something I saw growing up, is if it's right and if I want to do it, I'll get it done. It's almost like where there's a will, there's a way. So if you have the will to do something, then the how just comes as you do it. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, a lot of people want to know everything about something before they decide to do it. I'm the opposite. I actually don't care about knowing everything about it. I focus on, is this the right thing to do? And the how of doing it doesn't actually apply. It's more like, is this the right thing to do? What's the right thing to do? Because I really believe that I can make it happen regardless of what it is. And I've had to do this many times in my life. I mean, life. Like, for example, we gave this example in the last episode that we were talking about, so it's fresh in my mind. But I never, when we were building software, Neil and I, my co-founder and I, we never thought about, like, how are we going to build software? We just decided we need to build software. It is the right thing to do. And then the how and all that came after the decision. So if I'm not mistaken, I'd love to hear what you have to say, because you read the book. I didn't. I'm just reading what you're saying and some of these reviews of it. But it's that we spend too much time thinking about how we're going to do something instead of taking the time to think about what we should do. And we kind of conflate the two. So for me, it's like, if I decide that it's going to happen, the how comes in the execution of making it happen, not in the decision making of what I should do.
Yes. So I think that for me, one of the reasons, so that's true. The thesis here is that we don't first decide what we want to do and why it matters, why it truly matters and is the right thing to do, before we move on to the question to how to do it. We either combine these two, as in, if we don't know how, then maybe we can't even decide to do this thing, or we jump to how even before we decide if we should do something or not. You know, I'm not surprised to hear that that's not a question you ask often, you know, because you're a very wise man. For me, you know, it's funny. Since I've been reading the book, I've been kind of self-observing myself, and it's a mixed bag with me. So there's times where I feel like I'm very focused on what is truly important here, and I'm not getting... some people will tell me that I'm very good at thinking about big picture and not getting, like, sucked into the details, or not getting lost into things that don't matter, and being really good at prioritizing things. But I have, since I've been reading this book, I've noticed way too many times, scary amount of times, me asking a how question when it actually was not productive. And it kind of sucked. It moved us in a direction that was kind of useless. So somebody tells me about some numbers that they generated in the business. And then in the email thread, I ask, how will we know if these numbers do X, Y, and Z? And it's just a curiosity. It's not even that important. But I just instinctively ask the how. And then the entire discussion was derailed by that how question, because the person responded with all these things we could do to track these other things. And then we went down this rabbit hole that was totally unproductive. And I only noticed it and stopped it because I was reading the book. So I was like, there's times where I'm mindlessly asking how to do something, and I can derail the debate or the discussion or push people in directions that are not productive. So I definitely have noticed that I'm asking how quite often and not always, or many times, not in the best possible way. So that's been one big part of it. But the other one, the more powerful thing for me, Heaton, is that is that second part, which is the one that you already described, but I'm not quite sure how to put this in words, where it's something that's daunting or something that is difficult, and because it's kind of something that's pushing your buttons, or you're afraid of, or people are unsure about, they're fully focusing on the how question in order to not have to do it, or in order to, as a defense mechanism, or even seeing people ask, well, yeah, but how are we going to do this, as a defense mechanism to doing it? Not, well, but is this really the right thing to do? But rather, well, but how exactly are we going to do it? And then the other person in the debate or discussion doesn't have all the answers to the how, right? Doesn't have the perfect game plan. And just because they don't have it, they've lost the argument now. And kind of the room has decided that we're not doing this, right? Although it's still the right thing to do. So that, I've never paid as much attention to the dynamic when people argue or discuss things, when somebody brings up how we're going to do this, not just mere as a practical and pragmatic way of looking at the world, but as a defensive way of looking at the world. I never thought of how as a defensive question, potentially. Although it's so obvious to me now, but I've now observed it multiple times in discussions because I'm reading the book and I'm looking at the world through those lenses. I've never thought that how are we going to do something, or the question of how, was always a very pragmatic and practical thing. But now I see that sometimes it's used as a very defensive thing. And you can win arguments with asking how and kind of making the other side look stupid or unprepared and taking away the strength of the argument from the other side, although you shouldn't. Because just because they don't know how to do it doesn't mean it shouldn't be done.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, some people would probably say, oh, Heaton, this is your superpower or whatever, or something like that. But like, if someone asks me how on any topic, I'll give them a damn answer. And so what I've done in those situations myself, and I wouldn't suggest this to everybody because it's like I used to get – actually, I never really got it wrong. I'd always like bullshit my way through it, but now I don't even bullshit. I actually will tell you how, because I have a lot of practice telling people how, just because. Anyone asks me how and I'll have an answer. And I know that's not a good answer for anybody listening, you know, but you know, part of it is like I was talking to someone actually at the conference that I was at a couple of days ago, and we were talking about something. And they kept like kind of wondering, like, how do you just do that? Like, how are you just prepared like that? And the conclusion we just came to is like, you'll just always have an answer and it'll be damn good. And I'll be like, yeah, but like, I'm just thinking about it and bringing it back to the basics. And I can do that without any upfront work. So we were actually talking about this because it was actually about management and how do you like manage a person who you might think is unmanageable. How do you decide whether you micromanage them or manage them without micromanagement? And since you went into this topic and you were talking about your team and losing arguments, for me, what it boiled down to was, if you're going to come talk to me, I'm not necessarily going to ask you how, but I will ask you why you think that's right. And so I just flip the conversation over and basically say, let's not get into the how. I don't think that's important yet. Let's go figure out what the right thing to do is, because, and this is the most empowering statement I think you could say to your team, because no matter what it is, I know that we can figure it out. So the how is less important than us having a ton of conviction that it's the right thing to do. So I basically just bring it back to, is it the right thing to do? Because if we can all align on the right thing to do, the how we will figure out collectively. If we're not aligned on the right thing to do, then yeah, we're all going to debate the how. We're all going to be like, oh, we can't do this or we can do this. But here's the thing. You're talking about decision making and you're talking about life decisions. You're talking about, I mean, from the book, what I can tell is like this applies to decision making and any kind of decision you want to make. And so if we spend so much time thinking about the how, we get scared. We just get scared. It's just like, oh, we can't do it. There's so much work to do. We don't know how to do it.
Yeah, we get overwhelmed, right? We get overwhelmed.
Don't trigger fear. You're triggering fear.
Yeah. Most human endeavors that are worthwhile pursuing, we would in many cases not pursue if we knew how hard, how much time, and how much more effort it took than we thought originally, right?
I mean, especially starting a company.
Especially starting a company.
Those kind of decisions.
Yeah.
I don't ask how. I don't ask how am I going to start the company. I'm like, yeah, I need to start a company. This corporate job sucks. I don't want anyone to be my boss.
So
right?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, for me, I just figured out where it came from. My dad, since I was about 4 years old, said, you should be an entrepreneur. You should work for yourself.
Mm.
And then over time, like, that's all I knew. So if that's all you know, then you're doing the impossible, as many would say, where you're like, okay, I have to think about how to start something from scratch. Well, how do I start something from scratch without knowing anything about it? I just decide that it's the right thing to do and I go. and the how figures itself out because I have decided.
I love it. I love it. Here's a quote that really relates to this from the book, which is the most common rationalization for doing things we do not believe in is that what we really desire either takes too much time, it takes too long, costs too much, or will be too difficult, right?
Yeah, there you go.
There you
go. It's like, no, it won't. Like, no, it won't. like, I mean, I would employ everybody, like, just forget about how something needs to be done or forget about any of that and just focus on, is it the right thing to do? Actually, my co-founder and I use this constantly without knowing it, you know? So thank you for sharing, Steli. Like, it really is enlightening. But Neil and I, when we get into conversation, we don't talk about how to get it done.
I love it. That's so empowering. And the quote that you said earlier, which was like, the most empowering thing you can say to your people is that if we decide that something needs to get done, we will find a way, right? I love that.
Yeah, when we were going through a lawsuit and it was terrible, we actually had the lowest amount of attrition in the company of the history of the company. Since then, there's been a lot of attrition. Before that, there's definitely not that much attrition of a small team, but like there was a lot of dissent. After we had the lawsuit, I had to give a few speeches, you know, type of things or motivational things or whatever. I didn't think of them that way. I'm just like, fuck, like we're screwed. We got to figure this out, right? But all I knew was, we're going to get through this. As long as we all agree that we're not shutting this thing down and we're going to get through it, that's all we needed alignment on. The company's still alive. So that's the evidence that we got through it. Right or wrong, whether we should have shut it down or not is for a whole nother episode. But, and I might have talked about it a little bit, but at the end of the day, we decided we are going to survive. We didn't worry about the how because we knew that we would do it. And I had to say things like what you just said, like, look, we're a team. This is a startup. Things change. We're going to have to deal with that. And our Glassdoor ratings at that time, like if you look at Glassdoor and all that, and since then until I stopped being CEO, I'm not touting my own horn. There's facts here. We're really high. It's because anytime there was an issue, I would always focus on, have we decided? Is this the right thing to do? Great. Then let's just align on that. And if anyone disagrees, let's talk about it right now. Because until we get an agreement and this alignment, this is probably where my whole thing about alignment comes from. We're good. Like as long as we get that alignment, we're good. We don't need to worry about it. If we need to hire someone new, if people need to be switched around. I mean, at our company, we had someone who came in as marketing, ended up running customer success, and then went back to marketing after that project was done or after, you know, a couple years, and then he left, right? But like, we didn't worry about it. We didn't care. We knew that we could get it done. And everyone that was on the team was on board for that and knew that they would be ready to do whatever it took. They would be ready for the how as long as we all decided. And every time it worked. It's just like one of those universal things. What an interesting book.
Yeah, dude, I highly recommend it. There's like almost every, and I said I'm only halfway through it, but every page or two, there's a sentence. It's written really well. It's very thoughtful. And every second page or so, I have to stop and think about what was just said to me and like search through it and work through it. And I read so many books and so rare that I pick up a book that truly asks different questions or proposes ideas in ways that I haven't thought about before. And that kind of influences me in ways where every day I kind of look at situations now and I go, oh shit, look at all these people asking how and look at how the dynamic changes and what happens. And I'm noticing these things in different ways that I didn't pay attention to before. So far I'm really impressed. I'm really in love with this. I knew whenever I have something I'm fascinated by, I just have to start a conversation with you about it and some new gold nuggets will pop up for at least the two of us, but most of the time, people tell us for them as well.
Yeah. All hopefully right, so, somebody else cares, right?
So let's wrap it up. I don't even want to, have a tip for this necessarily. I think that, I mean, for some people, they might pick up the book and read it and inspired by our discussion, yeah. But I think the core message here is, you know, knowing the utility of when to ask how, but also knowing that asking it as the first line of defense or as the first decision-making filter is probably a really bad idea. And noticing when people ask how as a defense not to do something because it's daunting, it's challenging, it's difficult. And not knowing the how is not a good enough reason not to do something. And I think the last thing you said, we're going to have to do an episode about, which is in certain situations, you decide first and then the answers come. right? And I think
in every situation, I pretty much use that. I don't think it's certain. I think it's like, if you start using that in every situation, you're going to get rid of that fear. You're going to get rid of that ego issue. You're going to get rid of so many issues. So it's probably a whole episode.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people can think back to, everybody can think back to a time where that happened. I can think of many times because I've been through many challenging situations, just like you, where you decide first.